Hello and welcome to another You May or May Not Like It. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX, and we're here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. You can find all of our podcasts at comicroast.com, and you can find all of our written reviews at reviewandroast.com. You can follow our Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast, and we even have a Twitter there. We have a bunch of Instagrams and stuff, too, you can find, too. Today, we are going to be talking to you about Principato. It is a 2-4 player game. 45 to 90 minute playtime, ages 10 and up. I'm a little surprised. I thought it would be higher for some reason. I'm going to let Brian actually go ahead and explain this one to you. So take it away.
All right. This is kind of an older, kind of an obscure, I guess, game from Z-Man, which I believe is a company that doesn't even really exist anymore. And I think the guy is now the head dude over at WizKids. Not important. The designer's name is Tuka Takoka. Calio? I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. I don't know if this person's even designed any other games. The explanation says, over the course of 3 years, the players developed their principalities. One is the best moment for expanding your city. When is the harvest noticeably profitable? How much defense is needed at your city walls? Keeping the timing under control is the major key to success. Basically, you are given your, cringe saying this word, tableau, which is your player board. The outer edges of the top part are where you put your farms and your fields. Then there is the like U-shaped thing where you put your military. That's your walls of your city. So you put your swordsmen and your other... Archers and catapults there. Then inside you have your banks and your... money houses, I guess, and then, or businesses maybe. Then there's a small space called the chapel where you can store your wilds, and then there is the palace where you can store works of fine art, literature, and various statues, I guess, or sculptures maybe.
There's the writer, there's the sculptor, and there's the painter.
Okay, so now I got that. So what you do is you take three decks of cards representing 3 years. And you each player starts with two starter market cards and two secret objective cards, which will say, like, have the most military, have the most banking, have the most food, have the most whatever. You start with your two market cards, and then you shuffle the three decks. You separate them all by these military scoring cards, and you start with a market of five random cards in the middle. You take one of your starter market cards. You take the action, which could be... depending on what it is, for example, we'll say it's the tax collector. You can take either two yellows, two greens, or one of each. And then there are cubes that you can use to build buildings or supply buildings, which you will then use to pay for various things as the game progresses. So you take the action on the first card. If it has a little icon that shows two cards swapping, you swap that card into the market, you take one of the cards from the market, and then you can take your second action. Otherwise, swapping cards is another action, so you could take an action off one of your cards, swap it for another one, that would be your second action, because you get two actions per round. And then on the third action you could take is to take one purple cube. You can have three in your storage at any time. They act as a wild. And then the play goes around until everybody's taking their turn. Then the furthest to the left card on the public market goes away. Cards move down. Next card comes out. Play continues in this way until you hit military scoring. Then you go through the whole military scoring. You have to either feed or pay your military, depending on how that works. They will indicate that on the little cubes or little chips. And you pay out however many. And then if you successfully pay out all your... military, then you score your military to, you know, highest to lowest in terms of player count, move on to the next round, you do that for three rounds, and then you score up the game, and then whoever's the most victory points is the winner.
Yep. We've actually, I don't know when you got this, but I remember playing it when you did, and we literally didn't touch it again until last week, so I feel like there was at least a good year or more in there we didn't play it.
I got this game pretty early in my board game collecting collections. And honestly, the reason I bought it is because it was sitting in the clearance bin at our comic book store, and I was looking at it, and I'm like, they always have games that they're like discounting and trying to get rid of. And a lot of times, they're literally the games that nobody wants. But I don't know if it's the region we live in or the fact that we live in America, or maybe it was the fact that America was this way at the time. Euro games are not always the most popular. And if you look at the cover of the painted artwork showing a village with a artist showing what looks to be some type of royalty, like seeing his portrait being painted, and you see the little flags and the castles and the domes and the et ceteras, this game screams super Euro game. I mean, not to say this is the most complex or convoluted Euro game on the market, but it definitely does not scream super fun to your average soccer mom or kid. They're going to see this and think it belongs in a totally different section of the store. So the game's sitting there in a clearance section, and I'm like, this is unusual, because a lot of times they're crappy IP games like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the Deck Builder. It's like, yeah, nobody wants that. So I was like, oh, that's unusual. And it was really cheap, and I was like, eh, for that price, I'm willing to give it a try, because I love Euro games, and wouldn't you know it, I kind of love this game.
What do you like about it?
Well, it was one of the first Euro-y type of games that I had bought, and it's kind of an unusual game, because like, no one, if you go on YouTube, there's not much on this game. There's not much on this game on Amazon, and it's not really highly regarded on Board Game Geek, oddly enough. In a weird way, it's sort of a card drafting game, in that you're constantly taking cards from your personal hand, because you always have two cards, and you're swapping them with the public market, and sometimes those cards will end up back in the market, but depending on where they get placed will determine how soon they're going to be off the table. And if you're the guy or gal and you're like, man, I really wanted the painter, but my turn's not for two more turns, somebody else grabs it, you're like, okay, well, eventually they're going to play it and put it back. But if they put it all the way in the front, it's going to fall off the board really quick. So a lot of it is timing when the cards are going to be available to you, and how soon are you going to either A, have the resources to play it, or B, have the need for it. Especially in the third round, when the painter, the sculptor, and the writer start becoming available, there's some big points available for, you know, putting in sculptures in your palace, loading it up with literature, and decorating it with works of fine art. So, and that's all random too. You grab one of those three items out of the bag, and then there's bonus points for collecting sets of those. It is a straight-up cube-pushing, conflict-free Euro strategy game to the core, and I like those kind of games. They're thinky, and they're not real. There's not a lot of direct conflict. It's kind of what attracted me to these kind of games, because other games where you can screw people out of something are not always the most fun at all times. Sometimes I like a more laid back kind of whimsical, like gentleman's type game. And this is that kind of game. This is a tea and crumpets game. That's how I'll refer to it as.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's nice. And, you know, again, it's a quick setup. It's a real, once you get the mechanics down, it's really a simple game, which is kind of makes it nice. You know, it's not something that is super heavy. So that's, you know, definitely has its place on the table. Component-wise, cards are standard size, which is nice, because I feel they'll be easy to sleeve. The rest of the pieces are all, you know, nice, sturdy cardboard. I mean, there's really not much more you can ask, you know, as far as components goes. It's a fun game, but I do have my gripes with it.
One thing a lot of people complain about Euro games is that there's no theme here. What's the theme?
I feel like this nails the theme.
See, here's the thing. I feel like this game really doesn't have much of a theme other than what the artwork depicts. It literally
you're
is just
building your principato. You're filling it with artists and writers and sculptors. You're, you know, raising the money to raise the army, growing the food to feed your army.
Well, the type of game this is, I don't really care about the theme. I mean, this could have been about competing bread stores, and it would have been just as good. The theme to me really just kind of comes through in the really, really well done artwork. These really, really nice painted art pieces that kind of make up the box art and the cards. But there's no identity to the game in terms of like, oh, I am playing Jeff the Swordsman, or I'm playing Gary the Welder. You're just nobodies and nothings, and they're just random buildings, and none of them have any specific abilities or powers or anything like that. Everybody is on a completely level playing field throughout the game, which, if you're in the mood for that type of game, this one, again, like you said, it sets up and breaks down super easily. Like, a lot of Euro games have a lot of pieces, they have a lot of parts, you gotta set the board up, you gotta put these here, these there, move this stuff around. This one's pretty much you lay the cards out, you hand out the tableaus, you put the stuff to the side, and you just start playing. And it's not a light game, it's a medium weight. Actually, if you look at the back of the box, they have a scale of easy to very complex, and this has a 3 out of 4, which says it's actually a complex game. I don't know if it's really that complex, but it is a nice medium weight Euro game that sets up like a filler game almost, which I really like. And it comes in like a half size box, so everything fits in there nice. There's no like abundance of pieces. There's no ridiculously large insert that you have to wrestle with to get stuff in and out. I don't know. I mean, again, it's kind of a themeless game in a way, but I don't mind it because I think there's a good amount of strategy for how kind of simple and slightly repetitive the game can be at times.
Well,
let's get to the gripes then.
That's where I was going. My main gripes are when you're building your buildings, you're either building a bank or you're building a business. So it's either a place to get money or a place to store money, or you're building a place to grow food or store food. So, I mean, there's very, very limited selection there. Which I get. So, I mean, you're trying to keep it simplistic, and that's fine. But I think my main gripe with this game is the community of cards out there. Like, there's very little variety, I feel, in the cards, and it's kind of repetitive in that way. And it also feels like, I mean, the only way to really score is military.
Kind of, yeah.
Which is kind of lame, because there's actually no real battle. It's just whoever has the most military gets a point. You know what I mean? It's like, I feel like there should be more, because, I mean, you have to build these buildings to get the money and or get the food and or store the money and or store the food to get the army. So I feel like any leftover cubes should be worth something, or however many buildings you have are worth something, because the amount of spaces on your player board for buildings and farms and stuff, you'll never fill them up. Never. So I feel like you should add buildings that do some other stuff. Like, I don't know. There's got to be a better way to. Oh, you know what? Let me reverse back to what we do. Like, everybody gets 2 secret objectives, which I thought was kind of neat, at least in a 2-player game. But yeah, but it's very repetitive, and there's very little difference in a lot of the cards and stuff. I just wish there was more to it. I mean, I understand it's technically a game for kids, but I honestly didn't know that until I looked it up, because it doesn't feel like it should be. It feels like it should be a little heavier.
I don't know if it's really a game for kids. I
mean, 10 and up is the rating.
Yeah, I kind of ignore that in a way, because, I mean, some of these games will say, oh, 14 and up, and I'm like, I don't know any 14-year-old that can play this without an adult helping them.
You don't know any 14-year-olds.
I don't really know any 14-year-olds, but I don't know. I have never known 14-year-olds are going to read a 36-page manual and be like, all right, nailed it. I could be wrong. There might be a few.
As I say, you'd probably be surprised.
Oh, I actually have to agree with you on the what I don't like is, from year to year, the cards sort of bleed together in a way, and I get, like, the market cards and the tax collector in the first round. You're trying to build up your economy to be able to build the things that allow you to generate the income to do certain things. And, yeah, the better cards come out in the second and third years, but then there's still, like, market cards and tax collectors in the third year. And it's like, you should be past that point. You should be generating enough income round to round on your own board to not have to have that card in there. There should be, yeah, I agree, there should be a little bit more variety. There should be a way to maybe expand your physical empire onto maybe like a sideboard that you can purchase, or maybe if you have like a urban planning ability, you can like add like a sideboard or a couple of, like the game Orleans, you start with your player board, but you can buy tiles to add more actions to your player board, which will allow you to do certain things faster or do certain actions that only you can do. Mm-hmm. Which is really cool. And this game probably could have used something like that to make it more appealing. Because I do, like I said, I do like this game, but I also can definitely I can admit that, A, it has a bit of a nostalgia factor for me because it was one of the first Euro games I got, so I'll always appreciate it for that because it was, like, one of my intros to Euro games. But also, I think, like, it's good at what it does, which is basically introduce somebody to the Euro game style without a lot of hassle because you don't have to go through the whole big setting up this gigantic board and putting all these different random pieces all over the place and setting up the thing that spins and then put the thing up that does the thing and then move all the different eight different colored cubes into their different spots so you can't, you know, where are the pink ones? Oh, they're underneath the brown ones. Like, you just kind of move them. There's really, there's three colors of cube in the game. So it's kind of a good, slightly dry way to play a Euro game with somebody who maybe has never played one and they'll kind of know if that style of game is for them. And if they don't like it, it's not like, well, now I got to break it all down and, you know, get the thing out where I can vacuum pack this thing so I can fit all the cards back in. Yeah. But I don't know. There's really not a lot I don't like about the game other than, like you said, the repetitious nature of some of the cards. They kind of repeat themselves. But I think at this point, the game kind of didn't catch fire. So if you do run across it, you're probably not going to pay a lot for it.
Right.
And if you're looking for a quicker, less AP-prone Euro game, I think this one's pretty...
Yeah, I mean, the style of game I really like where, you know, everyone's... All the resources and everything is kind of community and everyone has their own player board to build off of, so everybody builds something a little different is kind of neat. I just feel like there's not that much to do in this. But that being said, it is a nice quick play, nice quick to the table. It's decent. You know, you're not going to play it every day. You're not going to hold tournaments, but
it'd be neat. Principato tournament.
Right. But I just feel it's a little lackluster.
I don't know. I mean, again, if I had played this after playing however many other Euro games I've played, I probably would agree more and be like, yeah, it's not that great. It's just okay. But
I just feel like there was way more the first time around, but that was before we got so heavy into a lot of different stuff. So I don't know. It's decent.
Man, I feel like I'm bagging on my game now. I like this game.
No, I don't hate it. It's all right.
I still think if you run across it, you should give it a shot and play it a few times. If you hate it, then you can yell at me, I guess. But I kind of have a soft spot for Principato. I think it's a neat game.
Sweet. Why don't you go ahead and toss a number on there?
I will. It's hung out in my collection for a long time. I mean, my overall board game collection years have only been in the single digits still in terms of modern board games. But this one's been in it for a long chunk of that time. So I'm going to give this a 7. I think it's a game I'm not going to play all the time, but it is a game that I will get in the mood for once in a while. It's that CD you bought early on in your music collecting career that you don't love as much as you used to, but you still hang on to it because it reminds you of that one time where you're like, oh, remember that one time when that stuff happened? That was awesome. This is kind of like...
Some stuff, things.
Again, this is one of the first Euro games I ever bought, so while it's definitely eclipsed by many other deeper, better, more well-balanced games, although this game's pretty well-balanced for what it is, it's probably not going to leave my collection anytime soon, if ever. I'll probably hang on to it, because I think if I played it once a year, I'll probably get my money's worth from it.
Well, I basically feel like, seeing as though it's rated from the manufacturer for ages 10 and up, I don't see kids really being into this game. I feel like you should thicken it up with some more buildings, different objectives, make it a little heavier, and then this game would be just off the charts, ridiculously awesome.
Oh, but if this was in the heaviness vein of like Venus or Madeira, then
or Manhattan Project,
Manhattan Project,
similar, yeah, or something to that. But either way, for what it is, it's just okay in my book. It's, you know, I'll give it a 6. You know, it's. Like I said, the components are great. The game has a decent amount of fun to it, but I just the replayability, I feel like if you play it all the time, you're going to get sick of it. It's something you're probably going to play every couple of months.
Wow, you're going to play it more than me.
Well, we've only played it, you know, once or a couple times when you got it and a couple of times this past week, but you know what I mean. Like, it's not something you're going to play all the time because you would definitely get sick of it. But if it's something you break out every 4 or 5 months for, you know, an hour or so, depending on how many players you got, it can, you know, it definitely has its place. And I don't think it'll get too old too quick then. Kind of like Dominion. We'd probably still play it fairly regularly if we didn't play it a million times within the first month of having it.
Yeah, we'll put it this way. It's not as light as Catan, but it's not Zulkan either.
Right. Oh, man, I missed that game.
It's another game we need to get on.
Yeah. So, anywho, there you have Principato from Z-Man Games. If you find it, it might be worth your while. You never know. So, that being said, you can find me on the Twittens at XOrsonX, and you can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find all of our podcasts at ComicRoast.com and all of our written reviews at ReviewandRoast.com. Until next time, have a good day.